Kwasi Mfume, the president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, resigned today after leading the organization for 8 years. At a news conference earlier today, Mfume proudly recalled the organization's resurgence during his tenure.
9 years ago, many of you will remember that we were mired in debt and we were steeped in doubt. But today, we finished 8 straight years with a budget surplus, with over $15 million in cash reserves, a flourishing endowment of several million more, and a clear sense of both mission and mandate.
However, the NAACP also faces an IRS inquiry into its tax-exempt status and a rocky relationship with President Bush and his administration. Joining us now from his office in New York City is Ellis Coase, contributing editor at Newsweek magazine, and good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Well, it's great to talk with you now.
Mfume may certainly have a lot to be proud of from his tenure. What made his time there at the NAACP so successful?
Well, I mean, I think there were a few things. One is he took an organization that was literally at death's door, and he and Merle Evers, who was the chairman at the time, brought it back to life again. I mean, you have to recall this organization had been mired not only in financial problems. They were recovering from a huge scandal that Ben Chavis, the former executive director, had plunged themselves into over sexual harassment, and there were sort of lingering issues of financial impropriety. So this organization was by many being counted out, and it came back to life, and it came back in a fairly strong way. So I think he can certainly be proud of that record.
The announcement today said his reason for leaving was he wanted to spend more time with his family. This is a fairly stock phrase you hear from company executives, baseball managers, and people here in Washington who were leaving for other reasons. Is there anything other than this behind it?
Well, I think the reality is there's always something other behind it when announcements like this come out. I mean, I haven't talked to Mfume since the announcement, so I can't say for a fact what is exactly behind it. There are a million different rumors floating around, and none of which I would prefer to talk to at this moment. But clearly, he's been there for close to 9 years, and he's developed a huge reputation, but he's also had a lot of people who are unhappy with him. So I'm sure there's something else behind this, but as to what it is, I'm not sure.
As you know, I'm sure there are reports of the tension between Mfume and the NAACP chairman, Julian Bond. Might that be a factor?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm just not prepared to speak to exactly what's behind this because I haven't spoken to Mfume and haven't spoken to Julian this week. I mean, I spoke to Julian last week and he didn't allude to this. But what I will say is that clearly it's just not a question of him deciding that it's time for him to take some time off. There's always something else behind these kinds of things.
We're speaking with Ellis Coase of Newsweek magazine, the author of Bone to Pick of Forgiveness, Reconciliation, Reparation, and Revenge. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In the upcoming issue of Newsweek, you write about some troubles facing another civil rights organization, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Right.
Is this a tough time for those, I guess the phrase we might use is legacy civil rights organizations?
Well, if you think back to a few decades ago, I mean, there was a time when there was what was called the Big Four. That was the Congress of Racial Equality, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, National Urban League, and the NAACP, which were considered, the Big Four civil rights organizations of the era, the civil rights era of the 60s. Since that time, I mean, CORE is alive, but barely. I mean, it basically is an organization for Roy Ennis, who's the chairman right now. SCLC, as you mentioned, and as I talk about quite a bit in my column this week at Newsweek, is in the process of very publicly dying. The NAACP has just lost its CEO, and the National Urban League seems to be doing quite well. So, sure, it's not an easy time for civil rights organizations, and I think part of the reason that it's not an easy time is that the reason for civil rights organizations is not nearly as clear as it once was. And I think it's interesting that the ones that seem to be doing quite well, and I would include the National Urban League among that, and probably also the Legal Defense and Education Fund, which is an outgrowth of the NAACP, which is doing well, because these organizations have a very clear mission. The Legal Defense and Education Fund, which originally began as part of the NAACP and now is an independent organization, is very much engaged in the process of fighting legal battles over discrimination. It was involved in the Abercrombie and Fitch suit. It was involved in Tuya, Texas, in the case of several people who had been imprisoned improperly for on the basis of false drug charges. And it's thriving because it's clearly made the case that it deserves to still be around. The National Urban League is largely a service organization working in areas from employment to education in communities across the country. And it seems to be doing quite well. I think the other organizations, which are sort of across the board, broad gauge civil rights organizations, are finding it harder and harder to get support, partly because they were so successful in the past, probably the victories that they fought for have been won.
Yeah, you wrote, after the victories were won, SCLC was lost.
Yeah, I think SCLC has some particular problems. I mean, it was the organization that Martin Luther King co-founded, and I think that one of the people I spoke to said something which I think is very true. He said SCLC began to die the day that Martin Luther King was shot. It's never had the quality of leadership that it had under Martin Luther King, and certainly right now it doesn't have that quality of leadership, and that's an issue as well.
And if these organizations, if that organization in particular dies, what dies with it other than, you know, what they did in the past?
Well, I think there's a lot of history that dies with it, and I think that there are a lot of people who will be very sad, but I think the reality of the situation is that SCLC has not been an influential organization for a very long time. I mean, one of the reasons that Fred Shuttlesworth, the former CEO, stepped down a few weeks ago was because he was frustrated because he couldn't get the organization to participate in a big campaign in Florida that he felt would be one of the major things that he would do and that he hoped would even have some effect on the presidential election. So I think in terms of what it once was, in terms of having the kind of impact it once had, that was lost some time ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that the current leaders are talking a lot of pie-in-the-sky type things. They want to become a global organization that works for conflict management and economic development. But I think these are fantasies that they're engaged in.
We just have a few seconds left, but I wanted to ask you, getting back to Kwasi Mfume, who resigned today as president of the NAACP, do you think he might have more influence as, say, a United States senator from the state of Maryland?
Well, I think that he is a very impressive guy. He's had a very impressive past, and we haven't heard the last from him. And whether it's going to be as a senator, whether it's going to be as an independent spokesperson for issues he cares about, whether it's going to be as a media person, which is what he was before he got into politics.
Talk show host, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, that remains to be seen, but we haven't seen the last of Kwasi Mfume.
Ellis Coase, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Ellis Coase is a contributing editor at Newsweek magazine, as I mentioned. He's also the author of Bone to Pick of Forgiveness, Reconciliation, Reparation, and Revenge, and he joined us on the phone from New York City. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.